It's good to see everybody here this morning. Hope you've had a good week. We have several that are visiting, and we're delighted to have each one of y'all with us. Good to have those of you back that have been traveling as well. It's just good to see everybody this morning. It's been a full year already, I know, for a lot of you, and it's about to get a lot fuller with Vacation Bible School. We would encourage you, if you would, to be praying for our success on that. It's one of our rare opportunities to really reach out into the community and be able to not only teach and influence the kids, but also their families. And so please be keeping that effort in your prayers, that it's done well and that it's effective in its outreach. This on Wednesday nights, we've been looking at the nature of God. We started with His nature as the Creator, and then we looked at the holiness of God last month. And then this month, we're going to be looking at the love of God. And I wanted to talk about that for a little bit this morning because I think it's one of the great blessings that we have. I know it's one of the great blessings we have, if not the greatest, to think about the love that God has for each one of us. In Psalms, the 107th chapter, there is a long series of comparison between God blessing the upright and Him cursing those who are not upright. And He talks about the way that He'll take care of those who love Him and how He will oppose those who refuse to walk in obedience to His commands. But He caps it off in verse 42, talking about the way that God interacts with us. It says, "The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord." One of the privileges we have as Christians is to be in contact with His Word and to see how great, what depth His love is for us. And we're commanded to consider that. Because if we don't, we'll take it for granted. You know how it is in marriage. If you take your spouse for granted because you don't think about what they do for you, before too long, you really start to drift apart. You don't appreciate the love that they have for you, and because of that, you just start to drift and drift and drift. When we fail to consider the great love of the Lord, we start to drift away from Him. And nothing could be more tragic. The only reason that we are here on this earth is to serve God in preparation to be with Him forever. It's a tremendous gift. When you think about the love of God, that He would go to such great lengths to create us as eternal beings, and He desperately longs for us to be with Him forever. And yet He also knew that being human, we had sin. That's not an excuse. It's just a fact. And because of that fact that we would sin, and because sin separates us from God, because the unholy cannot come into His holy presence, He made arrangements for us to be with Him forever because of His great love. We often think of John 3:16 and the truth that's contained in that. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." But turn over to Titus chapter 3 and look how God has the Apostle Paul expand upon that thought of God's great love for us and how He displayed that by allowing Christ to come to this earth. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. He starts talking about the world, and then he says, "At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures." And isn't that true? We get caught up so much with sin that we get distracted from what we're here for. And we do become enslaved by this sin. He says we lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, when by the kindness of our love of God, our Savior appeared, He saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. In other words, we don't deserve it, but he's giving us another chance. We were lost, but he didn't want us to be lost. He didn't create us to be lost. Any more than we look at our children when they're 2 years old and they're bad and we hope somehow that something bad will happen to them. We don't do that. We love them. We punish them for their evil behavior because we don't want them to grow up to be bad. We know that their bad behavior has consequences, whether it's something as simple as carelessness that a child has within them, not necessarily any evil, but touching a plug or getting too close to the edge of something, or whether it's getting involved with pulling their little brother or sister's hair or whatever it is that is a little bit more mean. God doesn't want us to go through the consequences of sin. And his love and his kindness were so great that he allowed Jesus to come into the world to pay for our sin, because he wants us to be with him forever. And when we talk about considering the great love of God, we need to consider that, because great effort has been expended towards us. And it's something that again, if we're not careful, we'll miss. We'll get so caught up with the things that we have to do or think that we have to do that we'll forget what we're here for in the first place. One of the things I love about God is he created a world for us to enjoy. Sometimes we get carried away and we enjoy it out of place. When his time comes, we don't give him his due. And the reason that we don't, when we don't do that, is often because we don't love him as we should. But again, he wants us to consider his great love, so that we can take part in the life that he has planned for us and be with him forever. Let me ask you this. Have you been reading in the Psalms, the 119th Psalm? A couple of weeks ago, offered the challenge or the encouragement, if you will, to just read one verse from the 119th Psalm each day and to write it down and to carry it with you and to think about it. It takes you less than a minute a day to look at it and write it down. But I can tell you, even though that I have written down verses for many years and have thought about them, I've really enjoyed this particular exercise. It's not a futile exercise. It's not busy work. The 119th Psalm is written by somebody who loves God's Word and by somebody who realizes the depth of God's love for him or her, whoever it was that wrote it. We're not told who wrote it. But look at what he says. If you read this last week, look at the seven verses you would have saturated your life with. In verse 8, I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. And then this morning's, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. Would that have helped you this last week? Would that have helped you to understand better the love that God has for you? Would that have helped you get through your day better? Can't speak for you, but I can tell you for a fact it helped me. It helped me tremendously. And I believe it's important for us to ever keep the love of God in front of us. And the only way we're really going to do that is if we have a love for God's Word. And I'll say this, the only way we're going to have a love for God's Word is if we can realize who He is and what He's done for us. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14, it says this: May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Think about that. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We often talk about the grace of God, but the grace of Christ is the same. The two are one. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Is the love of God with you? We know he extends it towards us. I'm not suggesting that he doesn't. I mean, are you taking advantage of that? Are you walking with the love of God each day, or is it something that's beneath you? Are you a busy person that really doesn't have time for all that? Because the Creator of the universe puts you here. If he were to withdraw his breath, you would cease to be. I would cease to be. And sometimes, yet, at the same time, we kind of consider our time our time. And sometimes we don't consider that great love of God. And I also think that there are times where we don't really appreciate the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We're told that when we're baptized, two things happen. We receive forgiveness of sins and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Think about that for a moment. The Holy Spirit, we are told, dwells within us. We're familiar with this passage, these two passages, but let me read them again to spark your memory. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and God's Spirit lives in you? 1 Corinthians 6:19. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you receive from God? When we became Christians, we didn't just have our sins washed away. That's a wonderful thing. But he also gave us a part of him to be with us forever. You believe that? In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, Paul, through inspiration, wrote this: "You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ." The forgiveness of sins was a great gift, but we also have to realize that when God saved us, he allowed us to have the Holy Spirit within us. A part of him is within us. Why? When I was a kid, I had really good friends. When I was a young man, I had really good friends. I can tell you their names to this day. When we lived in Seattle, there was a young man, a boy, we were both 7, 8 years old, by the name of Stephen Price. We did everything together. We hung out. We'd wake up in the morning during the summers. We'd go over to each other's house. We'd beg to spend the night with each other. We'd do all sorts of things. When we moved to Houston, it was David Bales. Same thing. I'm now 11 or 12 years old. I got this best friend. We had common interests. We learned to play chess together. We rode bikes everywhere. We wanted to be together. I don't know how many baseball games we played together. And then when I got to college, it was people like Phil Prince and Pat Baker. When I was in high school, it was people like Roger Bartow. I remember these young men because we had a kinship. We liked each other. We were friends. We wanted to do things together. And then when I started dating Carolyn, I can remember I hated to be in class. As a matter of fact, I would take off from class so that I could be with her. Wasn't that magnanimous of me when we were in college? And then when I'd go to work, because I had to work to be able to afford to take her out, I mean, sometimes we would spend $3.12 on dinner together if we shared a drink. Things were a little cheaper back then. But I can remember going to work at Kentucky Fried Chicken, just slogging through the grease all day. By the way, they cook the chicken in grease, so if it's greasy, that's why. But I would do that, and I'd look at the clock, and I couldn't wait to get off. And when I got off, I would rush home, and I would wash that grease off of me, and then I'd go to be with her. And then when curfew hit at college, I would have to leave. But I longed to be with her. And when I was a kid, I longed to be with my friends. Why? It's because we didn't only love each other, we liked each other, enjoyed each other's presence. Why did God give you a piece of him to be with you, his Holy Spirit? It's because he loves you. It's because he desires that fellowship. He wants to be with you, and he wants you to be with him. And when we miss that, we miss out on one of the greatest gifts of life. God loves you. Look at all the fun things that you get to do that are okay to do. Look at all the fun things you get to spend your money on that are okay to spend your money on. Look at all the activities and the friends that you have that are enhanced by the love of God. Just think about what he's done for you. I mentioned a few weeks ago, just think about the fact that he invented chocolate. Does that not prove that he loves you? The kids are about to go on a teen trip to the Rocky Mountains. We're going to enjoy a lot of things. We're going to go to a baseball game on the 4th of July and watch a tremendous fireworks show, the skills of men, and it'll be beautiful. But it will be nothing to compare to the time that we get to spend up in the park looking at the mountains and the trees and the freshness of the air and the rivers. It's gorgeous up there. It proves, it displays not only the power of God, but the love that He has for us. He wants us to have a good life. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. Sometimes we get to looking at the things that are not going our way, and typically they're not going our way either because of the sin in our life or because of the sins of other people, and we start reckoning that somehow God does not love us like He should. That's nonsense. Whenever we get too close to Satan's realm, we're going to pay a price. The reason that sin is not because God would somehow crimp our pleasure or somehow keep us from enjoying the life that He has called us to. It's because He loves us. You didn't tell your kids when they were 2 years old not to touch that plug because you hated them and you didn't want them to have fun. Electricity is exciting, but it's not fun. There's a lot of sin that's exciting, but the consequences are not fun. And because of the great love of God, He would spare us from the consequences of sin. But we have to do things His way. And we must not neglect the love of God. Luke chapter 11, verse 42 is an important passage. In John chapter 14, Jesus equates love with obedience in this way. He said, "If you love me, you'll obey what I command." Some people get that mixed up. Some people think because they obey what Jesus commands that they love Him. And that's not the case all the time. And that's what Jesus is chastising the Pharisees for. In Luke chapter 11, verse 42, Jesus is talking to a group of men who think they love God because of what they do. And He says, "Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God." And then He points out this important fact: you should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Our love for God will make us do everything we can to obey God to the nth degree, including tithing of mint and rue and cumin if we were under the old law. The idea is we're careful in obeying God's commandments, but we are careful in obeying God's commandments because we love Him. You can obey without love. You see, a lot of people grow up that obey their parents that really don't care for them. They have a perverse relationship. You see a lot of people who obey the laws of the land, but they don't love their government. They have a perverse relationship because of the fault of one or the other or both. And unfortunately, sometimes you see people obeying God, but not because they love Him, but because they think that that will make them somehow righteous or special. I will say this: you cannot be righteous without obedience. But there is no reason for obedience without love. It is love that motivates us to obedience. And if our motivation is not right, if our motives are impure, we're not loving God as we're supposed to. And that's why Jesus was getting after the Pharisees. He said, "You should have practiced the former." But He said, "It's without leaving the latter undone. You obey because you love." In John chapter 5 and verse 41, Jesus said this: "I do not accept praise from men, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you'll accept him." You see, when we don't obey Jesus, we don't have the love of God in our hearts. We don't accept it. We don't accept His terms. And that's okay. You can do that for your entire physical life. You can go through your entire physical life and you can reject God's terms for you. You can somehow think that He is mean, that He is somehow cruel, that He is somehow unloving. And you can live your life in your way if you want to do that for as long as you draw breath. That's the deal God makes with us. But there's a day of reckoning. And that day of reckoning will be unpleasant if we live in that way. God loves us. He doesn't want us to have our sins reckoned to our condemnation, to our eternal loss. He wants us to be with Him forever. He proved it by allowing Jesus to die in our place. Greater love has no one than this, Jesus said. Then He lay His life down for His friends. And then He pointed out to those He was talking to at the time, "You are my friends, if you do what I command." We're friends of Christ. We're beloved by Christ and we're beloved by God. We're taking advantage of that. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. Invitation's open. If you're ready to become a Christian today, we would love to help you with that. If you need the prayers of the congregation, won't you come while we stand and sing?